Welcome to episode 561 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Today is day 15 in our series, 30 Days to a Happy New You. Let's begin with our weekly recap. To be a happy new you, focus on the present and the future rather than the past. Consider your ways. Think about specific ways that you can please God, glorify Him. Embrace God's gift of grace. It is through grace that you will receive spiritual training. You need to be born again. New life is a gift, a miracle of God. You begin a happy new you when, in faith, you accept that gift. You need to be reflective. Think about lessons learned. Think about blessings received. Think about paths that you want to follow. You need to be grateful. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His gift of newness. You need to leave your old life behind as you become a new creation in Christ. Embrace renewal as an ongoing process. You might need a new name, or at the very least, a new identity that aligns you more closely with the things of Christ. You need a transformed mind. You need a transformed heart. Actively practice spiritual disciplines and actions that can lead to renewal. Think about mentoring relationships. Now on to today's episode, Clean Hands. Keeping hands clean is one of the most important steps we can take to avoid getting sick and spreading germs to others. Many diseases and conditions are spread by not washing hands with soap and clean, running water. Hand washing with soap removes germs from hands. This helps prevent infections because people frequently touch their eyes, nose, and mouth without even realizing it. Germs can get into the body through the eyes, nose, and mouth and make us sick. Germs from unwashed hands can get into foods and drinks while people prepare or consume them. Germs can multiply in some types of foods or drinks under certain conditions and, yes, make people sick. Germs from unwashed hands can be transferred to other objects like handrails, tabletops, or toys, and then transferred to another person's hands. Removing germs through hand washing therefore helps prevent diarrhea and respiratory infections, and may even help prevent skin and eye infections. Besides the practical value of clean hands, there is an idiomatic expression in English that says, one has clean hands, which means that person is innocent or free of wrongdoing. Clean hands is also a legal principle that only a party that has done nothing wrong can come to a court with a lawsuit against another person. If the party bringing the suit has acted in an unfair, illegal, dishonest, or otherwise immoral way in regard to the subject matter at issue, then they have violated an equitable principle. The Apostle James observed a widespread problem of worldliness infiltrating the lives of Christians in the early church. In James 4 verse 8, he urges his readers to repent from their sinful ways and return to the Lord. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. James's use of the phrase, cleanse your hands, linked his command to a spiritual and moral sense to the language of the ancient Jewish ceremonial rituals of worship. Whenever the priests entered the wilderness tabernacle and approached the altar to minister to the Lord, they were required to cleanse their hands and feet with water from a bronze basin. Exodus 30 verse 21, they shall wash their hands and their feet so that they may not die. It shall be a statute forever to them, even to him and to his offspring throughout their generations. James may have also had these words of King David from Psalm 24 verses 3 to 4 in mind. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. James's charge to cleanse your hands focus more on the people's worldly actions and outward deeds. In light of God's sovereign ownership of the earth and all who live upon it, David wonders exactly who has the right to stand before God. This isn't about mountain climbing or hill ascending ability, but about the right to come before God, the one who has clean hands and a pure heart. This speaks of a man or woman who is pure in both their actions, hands, and intentions, heart. This is one who can ascend the hill of the Lord and stand in his holy place. Those accepted by God also reject idolatry in their actions, but especially in their souls. God has first place. The idea of swearing by a false god relates to the words that we speak. Empty promises, insincere words, are not welcome by God. We get our hands dirty when we play in the world's sandbox. We cleanse our hands by removing them from sinful pursuits and moral compromises, and then seeking God's forgiveness. We purify our hearts through the inward renewal of the mind and spirit. The Apostle Paul taught believers to give their bodies, including their hands, to God as a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship, he says in Romans 12, verses 1 to 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. James called the people double-minded because they continued to grasp tightly to the world while claiming to love and worship God. A parallel indictment characterized the people of Isaiah's time. Isaiah 29, verse 13, "These people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." James saw that it was time for the people to tear down the walls of denial and get honest with themselves before God. He encouraged them to draw near to God in genuine repentance by experiencing gut-wrenching sorrow for their sins. James 4, verses 9 to 10. "Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor." Jesus taught that inner purity is more important than outward ritualistic cleansing. Matthew 15, verses 18 to 20. "The words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you." When James said, "Cleanse your hands, you sinners," he was speaking figuratively, using the washing of one's hands as a symbol of repentance and the washing away of sin. So give us clean hands, give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands, oh God, give us pure hearts. In truth, we cannot cleanse ourselves from sin. According to 1 John 1 verse 7, only God through the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. Christ shed his blood on the cross, providing the necessary sacrifice for our sins so that we could receive God's forgiveness and complete cleansing. And according to Hebrews 10 verses 19 to 22, we can now draw near to God by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. A happy new you is one who deeply desires to have clean hands and who prays that God will continually cleanse not only your hearts, but also your hands. Father, give us discerning hearts. Give us willing hearts. And give us loving hearts. And give us clean hands. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.